Give that Lord a hand clap today for all of his goodness. Praise God. I want to invite you to go ahead and have your seat as the band continues to play for just a moment. Proverbs 31 talks about that excellent wife, that godly woman. And in the middle of it, or actually toward the end of it, the text moves to talk about a godly mother. Here's what it says. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth to wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household. She doesn't eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. I think it's always appropriate on Mother's Day to particularly recognize mothers. We invite mothers to stand this morning. We want you to stand, all mothers to stand, please. It would honor us if you would. Praise God. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. God bless you all and thank you. Please have your seat. We pray that you would feel honored today. And y'all, thank you for being patient with our sound system. That storm that came through Wednesday night has wreaked havoc. We don't know if we took a direct strike or what, but I mean, our security system has been haywire. Some computer systems have been haywire. We come in yesterday to hold the graduation that we were hosting here, and the whole thing was haywire. And Pastor Mark and Justin, who is our sound and AV director, man, they spent about 8 hours up here yesterday, y'all, trying to get everything back online and trying to figure out what was going on. And anyway, we've got experts coming, okay, this week to hopefully get all that set out. And we pray it all be put back together. And hopefully, there's just a button we ain't pushed yet, okay? That's what we're praying. That's what we're praying for, all right? Y'all pray along with me for that, all right? Now, grab your copy of God's Word. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Now, mothers have long been the muse of artists, especially painters. It's interesting as you go back through history, some of the most famous painters in the world had their mother sit as their model. Not only did their mothers offer, you know, these faces that provided dramatic skin textures, and that's a nice way of saying it, isn't it? Don't you like that, ladies, when it's described that way? Dramatic skin textures, all right? Emotional depth, but also finding models, man, that costs money and time. And so a mother, like all mothers, was always accessible, patient, willing to sit for long periods of time there with her son, often very supportive of the artist's work. I mean, what mother doesn't love their child's art, right? I mean, even if it's finger painting, right? Of course, the price was right as well, right? Free. You know, I've heard over the years that perhaps the most famous painting in the world, the Mona Lisa, was Leonardo da Vinci's mother. Apparently, that's not true, all right? However, others did indeed paint their mother. I want to share a few of these with you here, right? From around 1630, here is Dutch painter Rembrandt van Rijn. You just know him as Rembrandt, okay? With the portrait of his mother, Neljen van Zijbroek. That's his mama. You know what he named that painting? Bust of an Old Woman. He did good on the painting, but he needs to rethink that name. Another Dutch painter from 1888 here is Vincent van Gogh's mother, Anna Carbentus van Gogh, simply titled Portrait of the Artist's Mother. From 1870, here's French painter Paul Cézanne's mother, Anne Elizabeth Honorine Aubert. Overture to Tannhauser is the name of that. Of course, his sister's in there as well playing the piano, and that's his mother in the background there. From around 1490, here's German painter Albrecht Dürer's mother, Barbara Dürer. This is actually her when she was about 19 years old in the painting there. And perhaps the most famous mother painting, all right, in history, right? From 1871, is from American artist James McNeil Whistler, better known as Whistler's mother. This is Anna Matilda McNeil Whistler. All of these ladies, faithful mamas, and these portraits painted by some of the greatest artists in the world that we've ever known, it tells us something. And what it tells us is that a mother's face is precious, amen? It's precious, it carries a story, it bears sacrifice and tenderness and time. You see, these men, they didn't just paint their mamas because they were convenient. They painted their mom because a mother's face is worth capturing forever. And this morning, I believe God's word does the same thing here in Galatians 4. You hear the heart of a mother for a child, but it's from the most interesting source, a very interesting source, not a mama, but from Apostle Paul. Now, Paul was a man's man. Don't get that wrong. He was a tent maker, a missionary, and he had stood before kings and governors. He had endured great hardship for the sake of the gospel. But when he searched for imagery that would capture his heart for the Galatians, he turned to the imagery of a mother. And in a moment, just two verses, by his example, Apostle Paul, he picks up a brush of his own, if you will, and begins to paint not with paint itself, but with words, a portrait of a godly mother. The title of this morning's message is A Mother's Masterpiece. And here's today's treasure that we're going to try to uncover. It's the question we're asking as we go digging into the text. Today's treasure: what is found in the portrait of a godly mother? Well, let's look at our text to see. Just two verses this morning, very simple as far as text goes. But here's what it says. The Word of God: it is always good. This is verse 18, Galatians 4, 18. It is always good to be made much of for a good purpose. And not only when I'm present with you, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. What is found in the portrait of a godly mother? And as I look at the portrait that's painted here, I see three particular brush strokes that I want to point you to. Now, these are not the only brush strokes of a godly mother, right? A godly mother is multifaceted, all right? But these are three crucial ones that we see in our text here this morning. One brushstroke that our text points us to is the love that you generously pour out. The love that you generously pour out. Now, Apostle Paul here with the heart of a godly mother says there in verse 18, he says it's only good, it's always good to be made much of for a good purpose, and not only when I'm present with you. Now, if there's one thing a mama can do, is she can make much of her children. I mean, if there's anybody on earth who knows how to sing the praises of their babies, it's a mama. She doesn't need a reason. It doesn't need to be any particular occasion. She doesn't have to be prompted. I mean, a mother just gushes it, doesn't she? It just kind of flows naturally, almost involuntarily, right? She can't help herself but to talk about her children. She walks into the room, and when she sees that baby, no matter how old he is. I was talking to a mother a while ago as I was welcoming folks and kind of mingling around, and she said, "This is my youngest baby. Can you believe I gave birth to him?" Right? Even then, she's singing his praises. A good, healthy boy, and now a man, right? Paul says it here in our text over and over again, how that love, right, it doesn't have to be coaxed. It comes naturally. It's not worked up. It's generous by nature. Poured out freely, poured out often, right? Poured out with a purpose. My wife, Christy, has so many great characteristics, but one of the things I love most about her is her intense desire to show love and affection to our children. And sometimes maybe it's a bit much, right? Right? Huh? Sometimes it's like, Mom, you need to settle down. All right? Mom, why are you hugging me right now? Mom, you just told me you were proud of me 30 minutes ago. You're telling me again that you're proud of me, but Christy wants to leave no doubt in their minds that her affection is strong for each and every one of them, right? All five of our children. A godly mother generously pours out love. And Apostle Paul says here that it's always good to be made much of for a good purpose. That's the key there, right? It's always good to be made much of for a good purpose. Now in the text here, if we were to go back before verse 18 here, is there's a group that's making much of the Galatians, but not for a good purpose. They were coming in showing affection and attention and all of these things, but they were doing it for selfish reasons, Apostle Paul says, right? Kind of like how a con man gives attention to his next victim, right? He's luring them in. And that's kind of what's going on here, right? The attention and affection that they were giving these Galatian Christians were simply a means to manipulate the Galatians to get what they wanted from them, namely to be put on a pedestal themselves and to be lauded. This other group, they were giving to get, but that was not Paul's heart. That's not the heart of a godly mother. No, Paul was giving to give. Giving out of love, right? That was the point. And that's what a godly mother does. There's no agenda. There's no scheme. Even when you don't deserve it, snot-nosed, broke everything in the house. I mean, fighting again with your sibling. Oh my goodness. She loves you. Anyway, she's not working an angle. She just generously pours out love on her children. Why? Because she loves them. Full stop. And she doesn't just do it when she's with them. No, she does it even when she's away, when they can't even see it, right? When it's not even expected. She does it wherever she goes. The portrait of a godly mother is filled with the brushstrokes of love being generously poured out. And I'm thankful as pastor of this church to be in a room filled with mothers who do that. Amen? Amen, man. A second brushstroke in the portrait of a godly mother is the labor you faithfully endure. The labor you faithfully endure. Now, Apostle Paul says, verse 19, that he's in the anguish of childbirth with the Galatians. That's a good way to describe it. Childbirth. Anguish, right? I've been there, man. My goodness. A mother going through the pains of labor, it is an intense thing. I was there in the room for all five of our children's birth. Now, Zacharias was fairly routine, but he was our first one, right? I mean, that was eye-opening. I'll just be honest. There were a couple times where I straight freaked out. it was an experience, okay? But boy, Elijah, who's graduating, he's almost 18 years old, y'all. Graduating high school this month. His was anything but routine. You know, a child is supposed to come out head first, face down, all right? Well, he decided he was going to come out head up, right? Sunny, face up, sunny side up. And that doctor, I'm telling you, he had to work. I even remember at one point, he put his feet on the end of the bed and pulled. I was like, oh my goodness, you know, as far as it goes. It was intense, the labor Christy endured with Eli. Now, Elizabeth was remarkable in the sense that we opted for no epidural, all right? It was an induced delivery, but and we had all those typical labor meds, all right? I say we because, I mean, I suffered too, y'all. Hey, true story, for Elizabeth's delivery, we went in, and I said, honey, we got to stop for something to eat. And so we stopped at Crystal's in Murfreesboro. That's the only thing that was open when we went in. Crystal's in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And we pulled up the window, and Christy goes, ma'am, I'm not trying to be ugly, but if you could hurry, I'm about to have a baby. And she wasn't that close, y'all, but nevertheless, it was funny in the moment, you know, and they're like, ah, you know, And so they threw my burgers at me as quick as they could, and we got on up the road, all right? But, I mean, it was an induced delivery, and man, you talk about intense. That was the greatest pain out of all five. And Nathaniel's was a little bit different, right? It was a long labor, ended up being our only C-section. And then Samuel's was very routine, but remarkable in the sense that we almost had him before we got to the hospital. I did not stop for crystals on this one, y'all. We barely got in the delivery room, and look, the nurses are going, "Don't you dare push. The doctor is not here yet. Don't push." And thankfully, the doctor got there just in time to catch Samuel. Man, with every one of my... I was so amazed at my wife, and I was so thankful that I am not a woman. Praise God. I'm telling y'all, goodness gracious, the labor that a mother endures in the birth of her children is crazy. I mean, it's amazing. It's praiseworthy. Even if they did nothing else, simply giving birth is praiseworthy. But here's something I've been thinking about a lot here lately. To be a mother is not just to have a moment of labor, but a lifetime of labor. Paul says here, "I am again in the anguish of childbirth." This wasn't the first time he'd been in this anguish of childbirth. He was in it again. And I think that's a perfect way to describe the life of a godly mother. Every stage brings on that anguish again. I mean, there's the birth, but then there's that moment when you first have to leave that baby with somebody else. That's an anguish, right? Maybe it's the babysitter or daycare or grandparents. Then there's the first day of kindergarten. I mean, sometimes the kindergartners have it rough, but mama always has it rougher than they do, right? And there's moments that they move into childhood, and of course, late childhood, those teenage years, when all of a sudden they get a mind of their own and they begin to talk back, that is anguish. And of course, high school graduation comes, and it feels like your heart's being ripped out. I know that for those of you that are graduating, you say, "Oh, quit being dramatic." No. It is a moment where you feel like your heart is being pulled out. And of course, there's going to be one day, Lord willing, a wedding, and that's a joyous occasion, but there's anguish even then in a mother's heart. To be a mother is to find yourself in anguish over and over and over again for your children. They may go through a sickness. They may go through a difficulty. They may get called to move from Kentucky to Mississippi. I mean, there's all kinds of things that happen in a mother's life that brings that anguish back. And to be a mother is to live a life that is ongoing in this anguish of labor, to find yourself over and over again. But in the portrait of a godly mother is the brushstroke here that you labor faithfully. You endure that labor faithfully. Because if you had to choose between no pain and your child, which one would you choose? Every time you would choose that child, that baby, despite the pain, because of the intense love that you have for them. Godly mothers endure labor so faithfully, so tirelessly, so thanklessly often. But I am thankful that God gave me an excellent mother, and I'm blessed today that she's here with us today. Thank God for my mom, Susan. The lengths that she would go to support my brother and me, y'all. It's remarkable. She's always had our back. She's always been there encouraging us. She's always been there helping however she can. Even now, though we are in our 40s, my mom would break her neck to do something for her kids or her grandkids. I mean, just call and she'll come running. Even if dad doesn't want to come, she said, "Well, I'm going. You can stay home." Just ask and she'll do whatever she can. Even at great personal inconvenience and cost. But you know what? That's not just my mama. That's what all godly mothers do. That's the heart of a godly mother. That mother endures whatever labor comes her way. She's always ready to serve. She's always ready to put others first, especially her children. The portrait of a godly mother is filled with the brushstrokes of labor being faithfully endured. And again, as I look around this room, man, I praise God to be surrounded by mothers with this kind of heart. The final brushstroke in this portrait today of a godly mother that we see here in our text is this. We see the love you generously pour out. We see the labor you faithfully endure. But finally, we see the Lord you intentionally point toward. The Lord you intentionally point toward. Apostle Paul says here in verse 19, "My little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you." That's the phrase right there at the end, that prepositional phrase, until Christ is formed in you. That's the key. That's the real difference between a mother and a godly Christ formed in you. And notice here, it doesn't say until you have heard about Christ. It doesn't say until you have even trusted Christ. No, it says until Christ is formed in you. Formation is deeper than information. Formation goes further than even salvation, all right? Praise God, every godly mother wants her child to hear about Christ, and she prays that he would be saved by Christ, that she would come to know Christ. But praise God, to have Christ formed in you is to become like Christ. It's a life of following Jesus, intimately knowing him, and pursuing Christ at every crossroad. You know, the word formed here, it's a pregnancy term. It's the same idea of that child taking shape in the mother's womb. Life starts at conception. But that baby grows for the next 9 months until it is fully developed and conformed to all that a human being should have, right? Fingers, 10 fingers, 10 toes. I mean, all the mamas always count them, all right? That little nose, those little cheeks, those eyes, all there fully developed. These Galatians here, they came to life at the conception of their salvation when they turned and trusted Christ. But now, Paul, in essence, is forming them in his womb until they're fully formed to Christ. Christ is fully developed in them, evidenced by life lived in deep connectivity and communion with Christ. Y'all, that means the ambition of a godly mother, her greatest ambition is not raising a good kid. It's raising a child who knows, loves, and follows Jesus. Amen? I mean, grades matter, but not as much as Jesus. Sports matters, but much less than Jesus. College and career, they matter, but they don't matter near the level of what Jesus matters. So a godly mother lives differently than other mothers in the world. First, she lives out a life of godliness before her child. Paul says here, actually he says elsewhere, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And that's a godly mother's heart, right? She knows that faith is caught more than it's taught. And she's not a perfect mother, but she is a Christ pursuing mother. Second, she actively teaches her own children about Christ, right? There's no doubt in her children's mind why she lives the way that she lives. There's no wonder in the child's mind what he or she should do, because truth has been spoken to her. She reads scripture with her children. She points at Jesus in the ordinary moments and says, "Look, there, Jesus is." But she also prays. And she not only prays that they would be kept safe. We've all been there before. Those of us who are raising kids in today's world, you know, where we follow Life 360 as they go from wherever they're going to where they're going, you know, coming, right? I mean, it's one of those things, it's like, oh, we watch that. But we don't just pray that they are kept safe. Or even that they would be successful. Well, however you define that. That we pray for those things, but that is not our ultimate prayer. Our ultimate prayer is that the Lord God would make himself real to them, that they would give him their heart, soul, mind, body, and above all else, a godly mother intentionally points her children to the Lord. Not to herself. Not to herself. Imitate me as I imitate Jesus. She's not raising her children to orbit her, but deliberately, consistently, intentionally pointing away from herself toward the Lord. She's raising them to be arrows shot out for the Lord's service, because while she is their mother, he is their king. He is their king, and she knows they'll ultimately, that they belong to him, that in him they're going to find their maximal joy and their greatest blessing. But oh, the beauty of a godly mother. Her portrait is filled with the brushstrokes of the Lord being intentionally pointed to. I want to take one last look at these masterpieces. Here's Rembrandt's mother again. Here's Van Gogh's mother. Again, here's Cezanne's mother. Here's Duryea's mother. And here is Whistler's mother. All considered masterpieces by the art world. These women were certainly mothers. I pray they were godly mothers. But I want to take a moment and just challenge you to just look around for a minute. I want you to see the faces, the precious faces of the mothers in this fellowship, this gathering here today. Or maybe your mama's not here, but you can see her face in your mind's eye. And I say to you this morning, behold the masterpiece that God has given you. Praise God. Thank the Lord for all the godly mothers. Here's my final prayer this morning. May the masterpiece that God is painting in you, mothers, hang in the hearts of all who call you moms.